Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
We've actually seen the small business numbers going from 5.7 to 5.9 million.
It was actually my mother's idea. She said, why don't I try and sell them?
I always had some kind of side hustle or creative project on the side.
It was about 20,000 euro all in.
How old were you when you found out the truth about Santa Claus?
Because we all know starting up a business is actually quite a tough thing.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're asking, should you start a side hustle?
So, what do we have to look forward to today? Well, we'll be talking side hustles and banking for freelance entrepreneurs. We're welcoming in Dr. Oliver Prill, CEO at Tide, to discuss all things small business banking. Then, I'll be talking to a series of side hustlers from across the globe about how their side ventures boosted their income. But first up, it's time to grill the big cheese.
Time to fire up the hot seat as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
On this week's Grill the Big Cheese, we spoke to CEO of Tide, Dr. Oliver Prill. We were thrilled to welcome Oliver to the Smart Money People office. And make sure to stay tuned until the end of the interview to hear 2019's final edition of the world's greatest chopstick confectionery competition, Skittlemania. Oliver, thank you for joining us. Can you tell us who are Tide and what do you do?
So, Tide effectively is a small business banking platform. We actually don't like the word banking because what we actually cover is not just finance, but also all the admin bits. So essentially, we help a business solve all their finance and admin needs. We have 125,000 members, so that's a 2% market share. So one in 50 small businesses in the UK actually do their, and mostly their primary banking with Tide. The other really interesting thing about Tide is in terms of new business current accounts being opened, we open 12% of all new business current accounts, and that's as much as, say, a Lloyds or an RBS group does. So we're actually seeing a lot of impact in this market.
And what are the specific banking challenges that freelancers or small businesses have that services like Tide are trying to address?
Yeah, so the biggest challenge anyone that is in small business has is the opportunity cost, so the time spent on finance and admin. And what Tide is all about is to reduce that. So on average, a small business owner, or let's say their admin lieutenant, if you want, spend 48 days a year on banking and admin. And of course, this is an opportunity cost because it could either be spent on running their business or actually some spare time.
So Tide has made it easier to open an account, which traditionally was a massive pain point. I mean, we've seen people leaving reviews for business banking, telling us stories of it taking 2 months to open, right, with a major high street bank. But you've also made it easier to operate once you've got it up and running. What's next for Tide? So you've been really focused on gobbling up as much of the market as you can. It's an increasingly competitive space. How does Tide stay competitive?
So you actually hit it completely on the nail. You know, we have 5 minute business current account opening and we've made huge headway. I mean, without a doubt, we are the leading business banking platform in the UK. However, if you look at our ambitions, we're only 10% there. So we will continue to make the platform richer and richer. There will be more services coming. And, you know, our big focus will always be not to make it clunky. So it will all be integrated, easy to use, so you stop wasting time. So we'll continue to build out very significantly in the UK. And then we're looking international because the interesting thing is small businesses are not only underserved in the UK, they're underserved everywhere else. And so we're doing some really exciting work about which new country to enter. Really great fun.
And what countries are you looking at?
This was the obvious question. Honestly, that's the hard one. So there are 700 million SMEs in the world, a lot of large countries with underserved SMEs. It's a really hard choice. We haven't decided on the country yet, but we're going to first do one new country, really learn how to internationalize the business before we really go in world domination, right?
If you kind of look back, and obviously Tide's been around for a few years now and there's a lot more competition going after kind of small businesses and freelancers. But what do you think entrepreneurs or small businesses really need from their banks?
So first of all, I think choice is great, right? Because if you look back when Tide started, it was very monolithic. You had one choice and that choice wasn't exactly great, right? So I think competition in general should be welcome. And in the end, we believe in member first. And so choice is great. The other thing, and this sounds bizarre, from a Tide perspective, more competition is actually good. And why is it good? First of all, it creates a new normal, right? Rather than default to the big five banks, you might actually chop around. Secondly, it keeps us on our toes, right? Because internally, we monitor what everyone else does, and we are very competitive. We are very keen to stay the leader in this field. And so it keeps us on our toes. So we actually think this is a really, really good thing. And it gives people choice. And we also hope that over time, while we think we've got a great proposition, that there will be different models that actually entrepreneurs can choose depending on their particular needs structures.
And we're seeing a lot of kind of personal current account customers seem to kind of dip their toes in the water. So they might open a Starling or a Monzo, but they might kind of not fully commit to them. Is that different when it comes to businesses? If a business opens an account with Tide, are they likely to be that's their main account?
Yeah, so actually you completely hit it on the nail. In consumer, we see what we call secondary switching. You keep your main banking relationship and effectively you open your second, third, fourth, fifth account. And, you know, it's then a challenge how to actually make that your main account. A small business in general doesn't have a lot of banking relationships. And there are the following reasons for it. Number one is if you're a business owner, you're actually staffed for liquidity. So you don't want many banking relationships where your liquidity is sort of spread across. Secondly, unlike a consumer, you know, your bank details are everywhere. You know, your rent goes from it, your suppliers, etc. Right? So in general, small businesses only have one banking relationship. And in Tide, over 80% of all our members have their only or primary banking relationship with Tide. So very, very different in small business to consumer.
So we know that more consumers going freelance or thinking about side hustles, which is the focus of our episode this week. Are there any kind of business activities or business hotspots that Tide is seeing? Any interesting new areas that people are going into?
First of all, the really interesting thing is at the scale we've got businesses from north of Scotland, very traditional businesses that are just upset that you're in the branch in the town just closed, right? To what you would say the tech-savvy business here. So we're actually quite a broad church in that sense. Now, in terms of the market of how it is changing, we see a couple of fundamental trends. There's clearly the whole gig economy that's coming. And then, of course, the whole notion of freelancing. You know, basically, rather than being formally employed, being a, you know, contract engineer, we see that being extended to marketeers, to other areas more and more. And that's, of course, great. And that's actually one of the reasons. What's really interesting is with everything with Brexit going on, the economy, let's say, seeing a few challenges, we've actually seen the small business numbers going from 5.7 to 5.9 million. One of the biggest increases in history, and one of them is that a lot of people are setting out in business, but mainly becoming freelancers.
So Tide, clearly fast growing, a very entrepreneurial business. Do you have any top tips for listeners thinking about starting up a business, be it a kind of side hustle or something more full time?
So I think the key thing is do what is your instinct, which is focus on building a good business, right? Basically, your banking thing should just be something that happens automatically on the side. And that's how we are. And hopefully Tide is a great opportunity, option to look into, because what we will help you with is actually something, setting it up very quickly, something you don't need to focus on. Because we all know starting up a business is actually quite a tough thing. And the last thing you want to do is spend a lot of time on banking and admin.
And you talked about 2020, clearly trying to ramp up, get as many businesses on board, but thinking about what other countries that Tide might want to open up. Do you see the future for Tide around kind of more products for SMEs? So things like credit cards or buy-to-let mortgages for businesses? Or do you very much think that actually you're going to stay in the lane of a business current account and look to the more marketplace model to do other things?
So generally, we consider ourselves a platform. So as you know, our business current account itself, it will be manufactured by ClearBank in the future. We work with Xero accounting software in general. So we are a platform that integrates all of that. And our aspiration is to basically cover everything that a small business owner would consider finance and admin. So it would include things like payroll, and there's some news coming soon on that one, accounting, which is already live, invoicing, which is already live, expense management, credit. At the moment, we're offering term loans. We have a small overdraft, which we call flexible balance, but we will do things like factoring, etc., but always with partners. What we will never do is go outside the finance and admin area, right? So Tide, we don't think we are the right people to help a business market their business. We think there are other solutions that are great, but we're really around covering that spectrum. And most importantly, we don't look at them as separate products, but we, you know, our no Notion is what we call connectivity chain. So you write an invoice, you automatically get an option to factor it. You know all your open invoices. When the money comes in, we attach the invoice to the incoming payment. We push all of that into your accounting system. So this clunkiness that was there in the past that basically was eating up people's time goes away. So that for us is actually the most important thing when we integrate, that it gets seamlessly integrated and actually saves people time.
Well, Oliver, thanks for that. It was great to hear more about Tide. It is now time for Skittlemania.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittlemania!
We've put 30 Skittles into Cup A and given our guests a pair of chopsticks. Over 90 seconds, Oliver will attempt to transfer as many Skittles from Cup A to Cup B, whilst answering some of the silliest questions the Smart Money People team can muster. Remember, the record to beat is held by Tanya Andreasen at 17 Skittles. Oliver, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go!
Okay.
How many times in your life do you think you've sneezed?
Oh God, 1,000 times?
If you had a pet giraffe, what would you call it?
Hannibal. I actually had a pet. I had a dog when I was small, and he was called Hannibal.
Hannibal the giraffe, what a name.
Well, it was just before Hannibal Lecter, you see, so I think now you probably couldn't call a dog Hannibal anymore, right? You would have sort of some connotation attached to that.
Quite possibly. Do you ask for a fork and a knife when given chopsticks at a Chinese restaurant?
No, actually, I would have said, oh, here comes my first one.
In.
Yeah. Actually, I used to think, when I heard about this, that I would be very good, right? Because I always eat with chopsticks. But this is, you know, this slipperiness of these are actually quite hard.
They are very slippery. We're halfway in. How old were you when you found out the truth about Santa Claus?
Oh, that's actually a good one. You see, the thing is, so I'm German, so we actually have this really confused tradition where Santa Claus is with the Protestants in the north.
Oh.
And baby Jesus is in the south, right? Which is mainly Catholic. And so in television, kids get very early very confused. And I still remember asking my parents, so who actually brings the gifts? Is it Santa Claus or baby Jesus? And if it's baby Jesus, how could baby Jesus actually carry the heavy gifts? So actually, it was quite early that I realized there was some degree of inconsistency. But I also remember my father, who had a very good answer to all of this. He says, well, if you stop believing...
Time is almost up.
Oh, no.
Well, look, Oliver, let's see how many Skittles you've got.
Oh, no. At least it's not zero.
We've got 3 Skittles, exactly the same amount as Helen Dean from Nest. Well, look, Oliver, thank you for coming on. We're delighted to have you as our big cheese this week. And we can't wait to see what Tide get up to in 2020.
Thank you for having me.
So that was 3 Skittles for Oliver from Tide. So that means we round out the year with Tanya Andreasen of FinTech Futures as the reigning, defending Skittlemania champion.
Next up, Producer Eddie spent the week chatting with a range of side hustlers to hear examples of how people are getting creative when it comes to supplementing their income. Take it away, Eddie.
With shifting work patterns and the growing cost of living, the reality of maintaining one's finances has undoubtedly become tougher and tougher. One avenue that many are turning to is the side hustle. In fact, online job board MilkRound found in their research that 60% of UK students and graduates said they have their own side hustle, some type of employment on top of studying or a full-time job, because the cost of living is too high to exist on their main salary. This week, I spoke to 3 individuals who have all found successful ways to generate a side income. You'll hear web developer and former cardboard box vendor Chris from Ireland, personal finance blogger Mark from the States, and side business mentor Josephine, who's based here in the UK. So Josephine, welcome to the Money Bites podcast. Can I start by asking, how did you start your side hustle? What was the kind of journey that led to you turning your side income into a full-time job?
So I think after I left university, I always had some kind of side hustle or creative project on the side, but they were always creative because I think they were that sort of creative outlet. And I think you kind of figure out what you want to do as you go along. And so I started off with blogging, sort of sharing tutorials to help other people make similar things to what I was making. And then from there, I moved into a home decor side hustle, because what I really liked doing creatively was sewing and making home decor. I tried my hand at making clothes. I was really not very good at it. So So yeah, I grew a home decor business, which probably was where I really started to get serious about my side hustle and think of it as a proper business, as opposed to kind of a creative hobby, I guess, a creative project.
Yep, cool. So it started when I was working in my parents' business, actually. They were greengrocers. At the height, they had about 15 shops across Dublin and Ireland, where I live. People would come in, and obviously all the fruit and veg came in cardboard boxes, and people would come in and ask us to keep them for them because they wanted to move house and they needed lots of boxes. It was actually my mother's idea. She said, why don't I try and sell them online to people, which I thought initially was a little bit of a crazy idea. I thought, who's going to buy secondhand cardboard boxes? I just didn't think it was feasible, but I thought, why not try? And I started getting sales, and it kind of just snowballed from there.
To start with, back in 2007, I started a web design blog, and I did some web design projects for small businesses and stuff. And I did work on growing the blog for about a year and a half before I was able to leave my job as an auditor and take that full time. Since then, I've also done a few other things. Most significantly, my wife and I had a business selling on Amazon. We sold private label products. So done a few different things over the years.
So for Chris, Mark, and Josephine, setting up their side hustle was the first step. Next, we found out how they took their ideas from concept to a viable income stream with actual results.
I grew that for probably about 3 years, and I got to this point where I was kind of, it was going well, and it was really picking up in terms of the orders I was getting, and I was starting to think about going wholesale and pitching to retailers and that kind of stuff. It was New Year's Eve in 2017 that I kind of sat down and I thought, right, what products do I want to launch next year? What does the launch process look like? What are my timelines? Got really geeky looking at charts, looking back, reviewing my year. And so that's how I pivoted into what I do now, which is helping purpose-driven creatives find clarity about what they want their lifestyle to look like, about what they want, what business they want to grow, and to help them plan more effectively and make those plans a reality.
It took a while to really kind of start making some meaningful cash. At first, it was basically beer money, right? So I might make 50 or 60 quid a week just on some random sales throughout the week. But then it was when I started trying to figure out I built a website. That's actually how I initially got into web development. Built a website, started trying to link to that, and then trying to understand how traffic got to it via SEO. And also eventually I enlisted an SEO company to help me with that. And it was only then really that I started seeing the traffic come in organically up to the website directly.
Yeah. So Chris, how much do you think you made with the entire cardboard box project?
It was about €20,000 all in. Yeah, so I was still working for my parents in the store and in the warehouse, and I would finish up about lunchtime. So I would be up at 5 a.m. in the morning driving the van, doing the deliveries, and then in the afternoon, then I had the time, I could go around and I could either deliver to the Dublin area if somebody bought them, or also then if somebody, I had to bundle them up to ship them off somewhere down the country that wanted them as well. So
my wife and I decided pretty early on that we weren't going to use the money that I was making for my side hustle. We weren't going to use any of that money for living expenses. We just kind of stashed it away and saved it. And then when I did leave my full-time job, that kind of gave us a little cushion in case my income fell or in case something unexpected happened.
Initially, when I did the initial sort of market research and had a look at how difficult it is to buy a couple of boxes online, it was really, really difficult. They didn't have a good checkout process. It was quite clear most of the places wanted B2B, so they wanted a company buying thousands or pallets of boxes. But by the time I was kind of wrapping up with BioBox, they had sort of started to cop on to that, and they were taking some, because they already had like well-established websites ranking really well on Google.
So yeah, and it was stepping stones. So at work in 2018, I went down to part-time hours. And then before that even, I had started working from home, which was just an education in planning my own work hours and, you know, staying accountable to my deadlines without people having to ask me where I was on things. And then I went down to part-time hours, and then I took my side hustle full-time. So it was very much stepping stones along the way. I think if I had gone from full-time in the office every day to full-time in my business at home, it would have been quite a culture shock.
So with a better knowledge of how they built their own side ventures, we asked the side hustlers for their top piece of advice when it comes to side hustling.
Even if you feel like you've got an idea, but it seems silly, or you feel slightly embarrassed about it, or you think, who am I to do that? Just kind of be curious about that idea and where it's coming from, and maybe just experiment with it a little bit.
Yeah, I like to think of side hustle as a sort of a, it's almost like a hobby, or it sort of like, it relaxes me. I look forward to the weekend when I can spend like 4 or 5 hours solidly working on a side project, whether it's one of the Chrome extensions or one of the other web apps that I've got going on.
Yeah, I think there's so many different things you can do that, you know, not everybody has the same approach. First, you need to understand or think about, decide what your goals are. When someone says they're looking for extra money, it could mean they're looking for an extra $100 a month, or it could mean they're looking for an extra $5,000 a month that they want to turn into more than that, something that they want to turn into a full-time income. And those two things are obviously very different. So I think you need to understand what your goals are, first of all, because if you're looking for $100 a month, that the things that you choose might be completely different than the ways you would go about trying to make money if you're trying to build a full-time business. So I think you need to understand your goals, what you really want it to be. And also, I'd encourage people to think about the things that you enjoy doing, especially if you already have a full-time job.
Think about the problems that you can solve, the problems that you've come across in your own life. If you are a mum and you've struggled to find the perfect bag to fit all of your stuff in and your baby stuff in that you have to lug around, well, maybe there's something in that that you could design practical bags. So think about the challenges that you've come across and how you could solve them for other people who are in the position that you were in when you were struggling with that challenge. But if you have a curiosity around having a side hustle, then definitely. I mean, I'm a huge advocate because it gives you an opportunity to be creative. If you can't be creative in your day job or not creative in a way that's like fulfilling you, everyone can have a side hustle and grow a side hustle. You just have to want it. I think that's the key thing. You really have to want it.
Thanks to Mark, Josephine and Chris for coming on the podcast. If you're looking for more info on where to find them, well, we asked them. Where can people find you, Chris?
My website, chrisdermody.com, is probably the best place to get me.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to plug?
Yes, I've two side projects at the moment, actually. So one is referextra.com. That's a project for helping hostel affiliates make more money with their blogs and their content. And the second project is a project I'm actually building with my girlfriend called livedata.ninja. And that's sort of a dashboard for companies, their lobbies or just for their walls, basically for some vanity metrics to display their data in a cool and interesting way. So
amazing. Thanks so much, Mark. That's all the questions I have. Where can our listeners find you?
My personal finance blog, vitaldollar.com, is the best place. And if anybody wants to get in touch with me, if you scroll down to the footer, there's a link to an about page. And from there, you can go ahead and contact me.
I mostly hang out on Instagram. And yeah, so come and chat with me there. I'm at Josephine P. Brooks. And my website is josephinebrooks.co.uk. And also I have a podcast called Make a Plan, Make It Happen. So yeah, those are probably all the best places. And on my website, you can find your way to all my videos and blogs and all of that good stuff.
Thanks for that, Eddie. And that's all we have time for in this week's Money Bites. Thank you to Oliver Priel from Tide and all our side hustlers from across the globe. And please do remember to review, subscribe, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.